Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. Before we get to the podcast, might I encourage you to please join us in not retreating? Perhaps you've noticed in your newsfeed a lot of pressure on Christians to retreat, whether it is in the form of legislation, in persecution, or just outright bias. We are determined to stand firm, not water down the truth, and continue to make resources that encourage and equip the saints to defend and share their faith. We also love to support and undergird local churches, and we are determined to do so. And right now we have a matching gift campaign, which means if you join us now as a gospel partner, your gift will double. Would you please consider joining us on our mission as we are determined to not retreat? FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bickney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bickney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bickney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, with me again today.
Hello, Thrive family. We're so happy to be back with you today.
And we're digging into communication. This is one of those subjects that if you buy a book on marriage, if it's a good one, it's going to have a chapter or two on communication, and here's why. Communication is at the very heart of any relationship, but especially marriage. You cannot keep a relationship alive without learning how to talk, because talking, words, use of words is how we connect. Not just touch, but use of words connects us. And this sets us apart from the rest of creation. Animals have to just look at each other and can touch each other, but God gave us the stewardship. And notice the word I've used, stewardship, of words. And so he's called us to use them, and he's called us to use them well. And just like everything else we've touched on in our shows, it is not automatic. Like, I have the gift of teaching, and I was in a teaching degree program, and Vicky was in an elementary ed teaching degree program. And baby, do you think we started off in our marriage communicating well with each other?
It was really sad.
Yeah. And I know she had in-depth classes about how to communicate, how to teach, how to instruct, how to get across an idea.
That was my problem. I was trying to instruct you on how you should change.
Well, and that was my problem, too. I was trying to instruct her.
Oh, we were trying to teach, all right. Teach how you need to become more like
that. Yeah, trust me. We were neither one of us guilty of not using words,
right,
but we were not using them well. Because what we touched on already in a previous show, we were both willing to talk and teach and instruct, but we were not listening. And so here's another L word we want to introduce into this concept of communication: learning your spouse. Your words will be wide of the mark, and you will not communicate well if you don't really know your spouse well. And so this process of learning should be ongoing and continual from day one. I hope you realize you may have dated your spouse. You may have done some personality tests. You might have done some kind of inventories. You might have done what you thought was satisfactory in deciding she's the one, he's the one, now we're done. Let's get married. Huh. Oh, my friend, you are just beginning the journey of learning each other. Would you agree, Vicky?
Yes, because you also really... you don't know really who you have. And so it's
a
continual lifelong process of who is this person and learning to love the person that God has put in your life.
Because you have who you think you have.
Yes.
And guess what the bigger problem is? You have who you think you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to date myself, but like, remember that maybe some of you don't remember, but let me say, hello, young people, $6 million man.
Yep.
And the show always began, and there's this phrase, this ominous voice would say, we can rebuild him.
Uh-huh.
We can remake him. None of us say that out loud. You don't drive away from the wedding
right.
and turn to each other on your way to the honeymoon saying, I'm going to remake you into who I want you to be.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? Very often we both ride off thinking that.
Right.
There's things that I already don't like and I know it. And as soon as you discover a few more, you're like, oh, I can change her. I can uh-huh. change her. I will wear her down with words or punish them with silence or just there's ways that I will press them into being who I want them to be. It's not what the Bible talks about.
And it doesn't work.
It does yeah. not work. We
tried it.
It
Learned
did
from
not
our
work
mistakes.
For us. And I guarantee you, listener, it will not work for you. You will not be the exception. Because look at this. The Bible gives us what we need. Oh, I've used it before, but today it's worth saying again. Guys, 1 Peter 3 tells us in 1 Peter 3, 7, all kinds of stuff God tells husbands, but here's one of them that's worth noting. Live with your wife in an understanding way. Now, if you're not careful, that can just sound like a euphemism for be nice. But that's not what it's saying. It's a Greek word that was a classroom term. And so I'd say it to you this way. Go to school on your wife for life. Mm-hmm. Go to school on your wife for life. Start taking notes to yourself. Start praying. Start writing it down in a little journal. What are you learning about your wife? And if you say, I don't think I've learned anything, well, that's on you.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times these aren't even, I think what really gets us really tripped up is a lot of times, and it's in our case, these aren't even sin issues.
Oh, no.
Most of the time, they're even just preferences of how something is done or
yep.
how it's presented or how
yep.
we delve into it. So it's a lot. I mean, sometimes they can be sin issues. That's another issue.
Sure.
But a lot of what we are talking about are just preferences of this isn't who I thought my spouse really was.
Yeah. And it is so true of human beings. Having been a pastor for 40 years, man, when I meet with young guys, young pastors, I tell them all the time, most church wars are not fought over doctrine. We tend to always think, oh, make sure you have sound doctrine. Yes, please. Guess where the wars are fought? Preferences and philosophy
uh-huh.
of ministry.
It's very true.
You think about the music, you know, music in a church. People go to war with each other over hymns versus choruses, this versus that. And it's not a sin issue.
Right.
It's just a preference. One person prefers a hymn. Another person prefers a chorus or something. So one person prefers psalms only. I think we should sing only psalms. And these are where the wars are fought in church. And guess what? These are where the wars are fought in the home, in marriage. Skirmishes break out more often over preference. And so that's why it's also worth noting, I'll bring it into view again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5 is my go-to marriage passage. And it doesn't even have the word marriage in it because it says, do nothing through vain ambition or conceit, but let each of you look out for the interests of others more than himself. Consider others better. And so that word lookout is actually a Greek word skopeo that means, I mean, scope it out. Wake up with your antenna up thinking, what can I learn or see about my spouse? How are they wired? How are they inclined? And I want to lean in that direction. Because marriage is not all about, I change you to be just like me. Or you change me to be just like you, and now we'll have a great marriage. You learn each other. You prefer each other. So here's some of the things I had to learn. You got things you had to learn about me, babe?
Yeah, they're definitely. And I think a verse that comes to my mind, especially for the women, is Titus 2:4 that says, older women are to train or encourage the young women to love their husbands. And I think so much in our culture is...
Huh.
I either feel love or I don't feel love. I don't love him anymore.
Either have it or I don't.
Right. Whereas I love that this verse is saying, no, older women, we need to be reminding younger women that this is not just, this is a choice to choose to love the the husband you have, learn to love who he is. And I mean,
not who you wish he was.
Right. Not who you wish he was. Like, yeah. I mean, Brad was so different than my dad, but I've learned, if I was just kept thinking Brad will really be a godly man when he can fix a washing machine and fix a dryer and fix a refrigerator, then I would still be waiting a long time because Brad has great strengths and he has great weaknesses just like me. So I really have learned to love the man that you chose to marry and continue to learn about them. And don't just keep thinking, he's not the man I want him to be. Then you're just going to be constantly frustrated.
If you have an ideal version of the wife that you're willing to love, the ideal version of the husband that you're willing to love, you are likely to spend decades in frustration.
Right.
Because that's not what God called.
And it's really unfair because this person that you chose to marry, they're probably not that fundamentally different than when you married them. Yeah. But you just, as you live together, you're getting to know each other better and seeing, you know, they're seeing your cracks and flaws.
Yeah.
You're seeing theirs. What are we going to do with those?
In the dating context, what looked like a hairline fracture now looks like a Grand Canyon chasm. And it irritates you far more or disappoints you far more or frustrates you far more than it did when you were dating.
And I also believe that it's very easy to compare our husbands to some other husband. Once again, that's just a downward spiral. That's not going to help. Who is the husband that God gave you that you chose?
Yeah.
Get to know your man. Get to know him in a way that, you know, that will bring you. You can continually looking for things like, what about him can I, and we've kind of talked about this in previous shows, what about him can I see and really appreciate?
And that is a choice.
Right.
Are you going to fix your eyes?
Right.
And so a good prayer to pray is, God, give me eyes that are willing to see evidence of grace.
Right.
Evidence of good things. Evidence of something praiseworthy
and where
something
am
I can give
to
thanks
focus?
For rather than zeroing in what I cannot deal with.
Or what I wish he was like my dad or like my best friend's husband.
All right, we're going to take a break. And again, if you're listening, depending on what platform you're listening from, whether it's Apple or Spotify, one of the best things you could do for us, if this is helpful to you, is give us a review, give us a star, give us whatever it is that you find on your platform that you're using, and then tell a friend that this is helpful. And let's draw others into what God is doing for all of us through His Word and by His Spirit. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. They're teaching today on learning your spouse and loving who they actually are. Now, let me say this. If Thrive has helped you in your marriage, even just a little, the single best way for you to ensure that content like this continues coming from Fortis Institute is to become a gospel partner. Now, here's what that means. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now, because there you're going to find answers to all the questions that we know you have about what it looks like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. So go get those answers right now. And if you still find yourself having questions, then the information to contact us is there as well. But also, we want you to begin praying about this. We don't want you to make a decision swiftly. We want you to actually bathe it in prayer. And we also want you to make sure that you're giving to your local church first. That's your number one giving priority in your life as a Christian, is to your local church. And if you're not faithfully giving there, then we urge you to get that taken care of before you ever give to our ministry. So do that. Make sure those things are looking good in your life. And if you're at a place where you think, yeah, I want to join you guys as a gospel partner, then we are honored to stand arm in arm with you. So get all of the information that you need right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about communication that is at the very heart of any relationship, but especially marriage at close range. If you want it to thrive rather than just gasp its way through decade after decade after decade with you wondering what is wrong, one of the best places to begin to poke and work and develop and repent, I might say, is to turn from either not talking or the way you've been talking with each other, and to lay hold of what Scripture says. And so the Bible tells us that you're supposed to learn your spouse. Vicki used a verse before our break from Titus that says older women should train the younger women to love their husband. In other words, it's not automatic. You won't automatically love him.
Right.
And 1 Peter 3 tells husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. And it's a Greek word that says learn her. So, if you're not learning your wife, learning your husband, and getting a hold of it and leaning into it, you will not enjoy that marriage and you will not communicate effectively. Here's something I had to learn about Vicki, and I watch men get it wrong. Vicki does not like surprises.
Nope.
Oof. She doesn't want to be surprised.
I look forward to something. Yeah. I know what's coming.
So my favorite example is, we were so poor early in our marriage that I think I've talked about, just sitting with no shirt out on the balcony in my one-bedroom apartment in the heat of South Carolina, saving money for a ring. So you might think I was saving money for this amazing ring. No, I was so poor, this wedding ring looked like a tiny fleck. It would look like a chip. It looked like something that had been chipped off someone else's real diamond.
It was nice. It was a nice ring.
You know, when it's so rare when you see one anymore, you don't even probably know what I'm talking about. But these rings had so much metal and silver all over, and it was trying to make up for the fact there's almost no stone.
And it was $500.
It was $500. There we go. So I had saved forever to buy a $500 ring. Well, we're like, 15 years into marriage, and God has blessed us more than, no insurance and mobile home and a car that won't run. And I'll never forget, she was sitting by my side one Sunday afternoon after church. I'm watching football, and I looked at her hand, and so I thought, wow. I see these young girls at church now, and they're like, oh, Pastor Brad, I got engaged. And they stick out their hand, and it's like, it's like the headlight from a car. It's like, good grief. She has to use one hand to hold up her arm because it's so heavy. I was like, I turned to Vicki and I said, would you like a bigger, nicer ring? And she said, she didn't just go crazy. She's like, yeah. And I kept watching football and I didn't even really pick up on she disappeared. She left. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to do a little bit of research, run around to some stores and check this out, and I'm going to get her something nicer. When the game was over, I go upstairs. This is back in the day when we didn't have cell phones, so we had a computer in the corner of the dining room. That girl has been working for hours doing in-depth research on rings. She knows the kind. She knows the different stores to check out in both Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. She has a plan for scoping this out, for researching, and for executing this. And no, she does not want to be surprised. But what she ended up with, you like it, babe?
I like it, yes. Yes. I like my other one, too, but I was grateful.
You don't have to say that. We don't even know where it is.
I do. I have it in a special little box.
Oh, special. Mm-hmm. That's a euphemism for sad. It's in a sad little box somewhere.
No.
But I had to learn that. I did not know that. I would have thought, surprise her with a nicer wedding ring.
Some things I learned about Brad that I didn't know about was, he loves music. He loves music so much. Like in the shower in the morning, he plays it. I can hear it through the wall.
I got a baby Bose in there.
He has Bose everywhere. So one time when eBay first came out and we didn't know what we were doing, Brad bid on three different eBay Bose
Wave acoustic system.
And guess what? He won all three of them.
I won all three.
Mm-hmm. And we had to backtrack and say,
then
I began to be
notified from all the sellers that I had won all three. Silly me. I'm like,
we know better now.
I don't want all three.
Yes.
But we did end up with one from a pawn shop in Chicago that reeked of cigarette smoke.
Smelled.
Actually, for a couple of years, it reeked of cigarette smoke. But the other sellers graciously let me off the hook.
The one in Chicago that
pleaded
smelled
stupidity.
Like cigarette smoke.
I'll tell you something else I had to learn about Vicki. I was happy to learn it. I had no idea. I'm dating her. I know she's from Georgia. I know she grew up in a good church. I know our families are similar. I know she loves teaching. I had no idea how much this girl loves to solve problems. I'm talking about life problems that we face together in our home. If the storm door piston keeps snagging and the door won't open and close properly, Brad Bigney cannot figure that out.
And he's like, call someone. So I guess
Vicky Bigney can't. Oh, let me give some other examples. When the dryer goes out, oh, no, we're not calling a dryer guy. Vicky Bigney watches a video and removes the heating element and orders a new element and installs it.
But part of it is, it's not that I so much want to solve problems. I don't like spending money if it's something I think I might
do. When the
do.
Toilet in the master yeah. bathroom squeals, it just squeals. Like, oh my goodness, is a pipe going to explode? She just does research and she tracks that squeal down.
I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that can happen is I call Ray, my plumber, who basically to walk through my door is $125. So, yeah. And I've called him in the midst of problems.
Because I don't know about you. When I lift that ceramic lid off the back of the toilet and I look down at all that, I'm like, oh my word. I just have no idea. Is this little thing that's floating not coming up high enough? Right. Is this, is that? It's like, and she will go after it. She will drain that tank. She will take that apart. Because
attempt
guess what?
To.
She's not calling. No, here's what's funny. When Brad Bigney attempts, it's a bigger mess that now you need to go ahead and call the guy. But it's a bigger mess than before.
But he has so many good qualities.
And when Vicky does it, I kid you not, I'd say 95% of the time, it's a success. It's a win. She's able to do it. I didn't know that.
Well, something I've learned about you, and our kids all laugh about it, is my husband loves to sharpen knives. He's very gifted at that. And like we used to, in our other house, we had such a small kitchen, and I think all the kids would be in there like on Sunday after church, and he's going around the kitchen sharpening knives.
Think about that Proverbs that says, when you try to work with an axe that is not sharp, you work twice as hard. It's amazing to me. People don't realize you cannot buy a knife. Even a good German-made, whatever those names are, it will not cut forever. You have to sharpen it. But I kid you not, I get harassed.
He does.
Continual. I'd be in the kitchen.
We just saw things it's so funny for some reason. I think it's so loud.
Dad sharpening knives. But
like one of my favorite knives is a fillet knife in the camping section at Walmart.
Is it $3.95.
Well, that's the nice knife.
Okay.
This is just a fillet knife, but the other day he got out my fillet knife and started sharpening that knife.
This is not an old habit. This is a right now today habit that I've not let go of. I'm in the kitchen and I'm just like, we need to sharpen some of these knives. And I'm telling you what,
that's it right there.
I said, what are your favorite knives? Point them out. And I started sharpening those knives. And
okay,
of course
that's
she
enough.
She had that look on her face like, oh, this is so silly. But
and
then
to his
what happened
credit,
two nights ago?
I had chicken breasts. I was filleting, so I freeze half and use half to grill. Okay, we got it. We got it. And so I was using my inexpensive $3.75 fillet knife from the Walmart camping section. You need one of these, women. You learn this on Thrive. And literally, I said, we were having a pretty serious conversation. I said, I got to just stop and say, using this fillet knife that has been sharpened is like cutting through these
chicken
breasts
there reading
with
a book,
like butter. This is like, it is working amazingly.
She's like, hey, honey,
and
I got to be
knife.
Honest.
Yeah.
So there, that is bonus. Nothing to do with your marriage. Everything to do with life and knife.
I think another thing I've learned about Brad that I really appreciate is he can see some big gnarly mess, relational mess, and he can just think, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And we have so many relationships with people in our church, with our own family, with our five kids. So sometimes I'll come to him and say, hey, this is the situation. Help me think through how.
She's
what's
often
the best
trying
way
to help a
this.
Woman in another state
right.
or a woman at one of our campuses. She's often in the middle of trying to help someone unravel.
So I'll just quickly present the problem. He'll say, I think, ba-ba, ba-ba. And I'm always like, wow. Or to sit and watch him as we do marriage counseling.
Because it's interesting. While I cannot look at directions and figure out how to hang a set of blinds, it just makes
Bless
no sense to me at all. Someone can run by me verbally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even see it. You can verbally run by me a situation, and I kid you not, but God did this. It's like I have a brain. I can just literally see components of that and break it down and think,
and I don't
well,
just mean good answers. I mean like exceptional, like wow,
well,
hey, stop. Let me write this down.
Yeah, here's
if
what's
you say
so
that.
Funny. Very
whoa,
often,
I like exactly how you
I'll just
said
start
that.
Talking and she'll say, oh, say that again. What did you just say? And I don't even know what I just said. I'm like, I don't know if I can say it again like that. But what we want you to hear is notice she's not still expecting me to be good at fixing the dryer.
Or the blinds.
Or the blinds. Or the piston on the storm door. She's leaned into loving who I am and mm-hmm. how God made me.
And being grateful
and recognizing
for that
there's huge
part.
Gaps. There's huge weaknesses. And the same with Vicky. And guess
but
what?
But there's huge strengths.
The same with you and your spouse. To love your spouse well, you have to choose to learn them and learn how to love who they are.
Mm-hmm.
There's something worth loving. There's something
Definitely.
Worth being thankful for. There's something praiseworthy. This just might change the tone of your home and the way you communicate with each other. Oh, learn to love the spouse you have and watch what happens.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.